Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
One of my favorite things to say is, do you know what today is? It's NFL draft day. Dreams come true today. I'm so excited. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Normally, when you watch ESPN Plus, you see beautiful Connecticut or beautiful Los Angeles. We in Cleveland, y'all. Janae and Golic Jr. Obviously, Golic Jr. is holding it down for our digital draft coverage. So excited for you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, look, Jr., we are in the primetime slot because we are leading you up right now to L. Duncan and Kevin Negandhi, who will host ESPN Radio NFL draft coverage starting tonight at 7 p.m., 1 hour away. We just talked to Mike Tannenbaum, who will be joining them, Bart Scott, Ian Fitzsimmons. It's going to be a party, and that's for days one and two. But we did start our day, Junior, with a pump fake, as I love to say, because I'm currently in training camp. Shefty bomb. Do we have a term for Shefty whenever he drops bombs?
That is interesting because obviously the Woj bomb is world famous around here. Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN NFL insider. But I did see Chris Mortensen, one of our other great insiders on the football side, say Adam Schefter is about to go drop a Schefter bomb on NFL Live.
Love it.
Before this news around Aaron Rodgers happened. So I think that's what we're rocking with.
Yeah, Shefty bomb. And this was exactly what Shefty talked about on NFL Live. He said, reigning MVP Aaron Rodgers is so disgruntled with the Green Bay Packers that he has told some within the organization that he does not want to return to the team. League and team sources told Adam Schefter in ESPN. Wild, wild times. But it is a special day, even though we did get a Shefty bomb, Junior. But I think you wanted, before we move on to where the money resides, you wanted to clarify something you saw on Twitter.
Well, Janae, today is all about deception, right? Like with this Aaron Rodgers situation, we're trying to figure out how much of this is real. Doug Kazarian is going to help us out with that in just a minute here to try and figure out where the money does reside on that. But we've seen smoke screens from teams, coaches, GMs, personnel, and CEO of the San Francisco 49ers, that third pick we've been talking so much about, decided to choose violence a half hour ago on Twitter. He said, draft day, I'm thinking about going for a run. The suspense is too much. How many miles should I go for? 1, 5, 10, 12, 16, or 1? And we're all sitting here with like the Zach Galifianakis numbers gift going on in our head. Field Yates, God love him, our ESPN NFL insider, who's going to be with me, Jason Fitz, and a bunch of others on our digital draft coverage, said, pointed out, Zach Wilson wore number 1 in college. Trey Lance wore number 5. Mac Jones, number 10. Aaron Rodgers, number 12. Oh. Trevor Lawrence, number 16. And Justin Fields, number 1. This man is out here toying with the emotions of the planet in response to this Aaron Rodgers news, and I'm loving it.
First and foremost, when he put 16 miles, I was like, you ain't going to pick 16. Nah, all right? Nah. That's what we're going to say. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio on NFL Draft Day, and we talked about the money resides in the breaking news with Aaron Rodgers. So let's head to the Goodyear Hotline and talk with a friend. Doug Kazarian joins us, ESPN betting analyst, also host of the Daily Wager right here on the Goodyear Hotline. And first of all, hey, Doug, very busy day for everyone in Vegas. And let's start with this, though, the news from Aaron Rodgers that he's no longer happy with the Green Bay Packers. That news was huge today. How has Vegas really reacted to it?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. You know, it feels like Christmas, but we have to wait till nighttime to open up our presents. So Aaron Rodgers did us a solid and gave us something to unpack during the day. Look, it is obviously a domino effect in the betting world with any significant sports storyline. And with this, this is definitely rocked the bookmakers. So what they do when something like this happens, and because they're all in the information world, they also have Twitter accounts, is they just take down the betting options that you have on the Packers. So that's the regular season win total, the yes-no to make the playoffs, the division odds, so the entire NFC North is off the market. And then they just kind of have to wait for the dust to settle a little bit. Every once in a while, they'll get caught off guard and someone will beat them to the punch. But for the most part, those odds come down. And just, we talk about this all the time, but it's good because we're still in year 3 of legalization. You can't bet a prop legally in the States on where will Aaron Rodgers be traded to. Sometimes you can do a prop and they might put it up soon. You know, where will Aaron Rodgers take his first snap next year? And you could do that sometimes offshore as well. So they'll get creative if this actually gets some legs. But right now, the speculation is that there's really going to be no kind of domino effect on the top of the draft because to get a deal of this magnitude done in a couple hours, highly unlikely.
So we don't get to speculate about Aaron Rodgers in the betting world, but we know, Doug, that third overall pick that the San Francisco 49ers hold in the draft has been a source of a ton of people's eyes, and that's one of the biggest prop bets in Vegas right now. Who's going to go with that third overall pick? So as we lead up to the start of the draft, where are we at on the current odds for the third overall pick?
You know, it's fascinating. If you ever doubted the NFL is king, you should not, because this is the most popular draft prop right now. And it's not quite the Super Bowl in terms of prop bets, but there's like 450 plus ways you can bet draft props. So it's definitely been gaining excitement and just hold of the marketplace, much like the draft coverage has, right? So this one has just been so fascinating, because a couple months ago, it was Mac Jones. Once we saw the first workouts and the first reports surfacing for the Niners, then Trey Lance has a pro day. So then he starts shifting, and then Fields has a pro day, and Fields at one point became the favorite. This morning, it was Mac Jones minus 300. So it's all in relation to 100. So 1-3 favorite. But then throughout the course of the day, McShay puts out his mock. A couple other people in other networks put out their mocks, and Lance has been gaining momentum, and he is now the favorite at minus $2. And Jones is an underdog at plus 160, and then Fields is a long shot. So it's kind of crazy how it's all happened. Now, it's important to remember that this market is not exactly Sunday morning NFL point spread market. There's a lot of fluidity. It's the one thing that they sportsbooks post odds on that they don't know better than the public. They're guessing just as much as everyone. They're glued to Schefter's timeline and Kuiper and McShay and podcasts, and they typically lose money on this because it's hard to stay on top of this and then all the games every day. And sort of the draft gurus, the professional bettors, will scoop them on odds. But it's so much fun, and it keeps clientele that they do it. But they don't know anything. I wouldn't be shocked if Jones closes the favor the next couple hours. I don't think that's going to happen, but I wouldn't be shocked. We see fluidity a lot in this situation.
Be like water. Doug Kazarian, ESPN betting analyst, joining us here. Also host of Daily Wager here with us on Janan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And Doug, I'm tired of talking about these quarterbacks. I can't wait to see where they go. Let's talk about the targets, if that's cool with you, because my favorite target here, Kyle Pitts out of Florida, tight end. What are the odds sort of telling us where he potentially will land?
You know, it's funny because it's such a, it's where the priority of positions, right? Quarterbacks get all the attention. Then it's maybe left tackle to protect the blind side. And then it's wide receivers and then DBs because it's such a passing league. But when this special guy that they've labeled the unicorn comes along, he really is going to be that sought after. And obviously you can play him at the wide receiver and play him in the X slot. So he is an overwhelming favorite. His over-under came out 5.5 because everyone assumed Bengals could go tackle because to protect Joe Burrow, and then Atlanta maybe was going to go quarterback and get Matt Ryan's replacement. See, these numbers initially, whether it's 5.5 or 10.5 for Waddle or whatever, always come out early. And then the mocks take shape or they change, but they don't move the odds really. They don't move the 5.5 to 4.5. They just move the juice. So now he's just an overwhelming favorite to be in the top 5, 1-4. And I still think there's value there. But I guess the better question is, guys, he's nicknamed the unicorn. I like Pitts McGee. What do you think?
You know what, Doug? I can't believe that hasn't gotten legs until now. But I promise we're going to give you the platform to make sure that that finds its way into the lexicon. You're really on to something here. Doug Kazarian with us here now, reinventing draft prospect nicknames on the fly on the show. Doug, before we let you go, we know that Kyle Pitts is going to represent Florida in the first round. Alabama's going to have plenty of guys vying for the title of the highest drafted Crimson Tide player, especially at the wide receiver position. What's the market looking like around which Alabama player, and specifically which Bama wide receiver, comes off the board first for the Tide?
You know, it's a great question, because so much of Mel and Todd, what they go through, it just depends who's got the spot, right? There's some teams that prefer Devontae Smith, and there's more teams that prefer Jalen Waddle, right? But who's going to have to take the wide receiver? Because there's not, like, obviously, like, Kyle Pitts is the number one tight end on everyone's big board. But when you get to these other things, it's all about preference, and the key is, does the preference pan out? I mean, Henry Ruggs last year was 50-1. That was the opening odds on him being the first wide receiver taken. Now, Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU is an overwhelming favorite, but in terms of those two guys head-to-head, Smith and Waddle, Waddle's a significant favorite, like a 2-1. To get drafted ahead of Smith. And obviously the storyline, the 166 pounds, the physicality, Waddle, how fast he is. Remember, he was the punt returner for Alabama before he got hurt, and then Smith replaced him. So Waddle is dynamic, and he just got hurt, but seems to be the consensus is Waddle's going to get drafted. He may not get past Miami at six, eight, if he falls that low, or unless somebody else falls that low and Miami can't pass up the situation. So that's the speculation, is Waddle ahead of Smith because of the size.
I can say, and a lot of people before the season probably would have leaned that way as well, before the injury that cost Jalen Waddle the majority of 2020. Check him out. Again, the host of the Daily Wager, always a great time. Our ESPN betting analyst, Doug Kazarian, kind enough to give you guys some tips on how to make some money heading into tonight. Doug, we appreciate
it, man.
We'll talk to you soon.
Always good to be with you guys. Thanks.
By the way, speaking of nicknames, Chinee, we were talking about what do we call Adam Schefter's great news-breaking tweets. It's Forever Fun tweeted into us, Mike. His name is literally Adam. It's a hashtag Adam Bomb.
Oh!
Yes! Incredible!
Adam Bomb!
How did we not Adam all bomb. Get here sooner?
I love it. That makes sense.
It's so simple. The
took
files
me about two
are,
seconds.
The files are in the computer. It's so simple. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Coming up next, we've spent so much time with these quarterbacks, getting you ready for the start of the NFL draft tonight. We got our position breakdown. We got my draft notes for the big uglies. Let me know what hoss you want your team to go home with tonight. Next on ESPN Radio.
Today in Golic Jr., the podcast.
Well, the countdown is on to the 2021 NFL Draft.
Join me, Elle Duncan, Kevin DeGondi. Full coverage of the first three rounds on ESPN Radio.
Coverage begins tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Let's go, draft day. We've got an expert in the building. It's Chinee Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. Now, before I introduce my guy, Mike Golic Jr., obviously an academic All-American out of Notre Dame, college football analyst that we see on the call for multiple games over the college football season. He's going to be holding down ESPN Digital for the NFL draft. Before we tap into all of that with your draft notes, Junior, we've been following this story, San Francisco 49ers CEO. I feel like we just have to bring this full loop.
It's unbelievable. Jed York, the 49ers CEO, was out here toying with people's hearts and emotions, tweeted about going for a run, and said, I don't know how many miles to go for a run for. He proceeded to list all these different mile amounts that happened to correspond with the jersey number of every quarterback, including Aaron Rodgers, that they could possibly be linked to. And today, apparently, he had to put out an apology for this.
Hashtag draft. This is Jed York's tweet. 20 minutes ago, hashtag draft day. I want to apologize for the last tweet. Clearly, I don't run much. Sorry to all the runners out there. I'm just waiting for the draft to start. Aren't we all, Jed? Aren't we all?
You were the first one to call him out and said, there's no way in hell you're running those 16 miles on draft day, Jed. I'm doing the math right now. And unless you're getting ready to be Usain Bolt out there, this is not going the way you intended.
Honey, you won't be back by the time you do your pick. Like, what are you going to be doing? But at least he apologized. But look what happens. Time gets people in trouble. But Junior, very excited because we've gone through every position group except the big boys, except the thickums, except those like you, and I'm ready for you to get in your bag. Draft notes for Mike Golic Jr. Let's roll the tape. Leading up until the draft, we will give you a position breakdown, but you will put your flavor on it, right, Junior?
Absolutely. Looking forward to this. We'll give you what I think is the best of each position group and someone you can watch in a later round.
Junior's draft notes.
You heard the woman. It's time to go thicko mode here as we get ready for the draft. We pop open the binders. We're getting ready. I'm going to be all over our digital draft coverage tonight. Check us out, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, all that good stuff. But we got to get to the big fellas. I'm going to give you the top four as they sit on the draft board, best available on ESPN.com, my favorite, and one to watch for out there in the wild.
And Cliff. Favorite words, don't forget.
That is true, and favorite words. All right.
Number four
out of Virginia Tech, Kristen Darrisaw, offensive tackle. Chinee, this is a guy that I think has incredible flexibility, a guy who anchored an offensive line of Virginia Tech that probably wasn't going to get its due because the rest of that offense didn't probably operate it the way that people were expecting. But by most people's account, he's been the third tackle off the board in most mock drafts. A lot of people have had places like the Chargers. Chinee, I think he would probably be my fourth tackle, but unbelievable prospect, big, thick in all the right spots. He looks like a bunch of fire hydrants put together that formed a man. He's incredible.
That sounds like a transformer. That's his new word, transformer. Keep going.
There we go. We've got transformer at number four. Let's go to number three.
Number three.
And this hurts me as a Notre Dame man, what I'm about to read you.
Ooh.
Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive guard slash tackle out of Southern Cal, expected by and large to be the only guard that goes in this top group. And Chinee, this is a monumentous moment. USC has an unbelievable history of offensive line. In the Common Draft era, the Trojans have 23 offensive linemen selected in the first round. That is far and away, it's almost double the most of any other school. Ohio State next with 13, Notre Dame at 11, and then Iowa, Wisconsin, and Bama all at 10. This is a guy that's got inside and outside potential and capability, Chinee. I would imagine he finds his home at guard, but he's a rock-solid choice. We talked to Jason Fitz. He was his pick for the Raiders in our mock draft. Number two. I jumped the gun on that one.
Rock solid. Rock steady. You got it.
No, I'm going to go flex a bull because I truly think if you need him to in a pinch, this could be a guy that could play some tackle for
is
you
he from
at the
Philly?
Next level. He is not from Philly. Number two. Our favorite number has to go to some people's favorite prospect here, Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern. Now, some people have him rated as the number one tackle in the draft. According to Sports Info Solutions, he had the lowest pressure percentage at left tackle in college football in that 2019 season, 0.6%. of dropbacks for Rashawn Slater. Chinee, as technically sound an offensive lineman as you're going to find in this draft, and the film that did it for everybody, you go back and watch him against Chase Young in 2019, and he did an outstanding job of holding a future top five draft pick in check.
Word
for Rashawn Slater, I'll go teach, as in teach tape. This guy puts it on tape the exact way you'd want a young player coming up to look at it and look like it. I think actually more technically further along than my number one on this list.
Number one,
though, there can be no other choice. Penei Sewell out of Oregon, the Outland Trophy winner in 2019 as a 19-year-old. He's going to turn 21 and take his first legal sip of alcohol in October, Chinee.
That's crazy.
This guy lined up at left tackle for almost every snap he's taken in his career. He's allowed two sacks in that time, a 1.4% pressure percentage at left tackle in that span. Chinee, this guy is only scratching the surface. He is in real time in that 2019 season. You can watch him get better. He might be the best open field screen offensive lineman I've seen come out of the draft in I don't know how long. He is a monster. He is flexible. He is a speed demon at 330 pounds.
Ooh.
And I just don't know how you pass up this set of skills. This, we talk about Kyle Pitts. This is a unicorn playing left tackle.
Oh, that's so beautiful coming from you.
Word for this one, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go a little off the path. This is for my Dragon Ball Z fans. I'm going to go Broly on this one because no one started off with a higher power level and just continually improves again in real time. Go put on this guy's tape and you are going to watch him in between series, Chinee, figure things out, put things together. He is going to continue to develop. This is all pro future for him. This is one of the surest bets in sports.
I have no clue what that word is. Do you have any sleepers?
Yes, sleepers on this one. So favorite is obviously Penei Sewell. The sleeper in this group is Drew Dahlman. Now, Drew Dahlman's a two-year starter out of Stanford. He played center for them there. I guess I figured I'd show you some love on this, Chinee.
You, baby. Keep going.
Stanford, another place, pro-ready offensive line system. His father played for Stanford before being drafted in 1993 by the San Francisco 49ers and won a Super Bowl as their starting center in 95. So he's got great bloodlines today. I think going to make a really good zone center for somebody. Tested pretty well at his pro day. Really solid tape. And I think going to be a guy as we get to day two, maybe in the late third round, can come off the board and be a starting center in this league.
Also would like to use this time to shout out Coach David Shaw, who will be on the NFL side of the network side of the broadcast, which we love to see it.
Say Cardinals in big places. So there are the offensive linemen you need to know for the upcoming NFL draft. Our NFL draft Preview is brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. For expert advice and the very best paint, stop into your local Sherwin-Williams store for all your game
day
needs.
Well done, Junior, on your draft notes. You
Thank
went through
you.
Every position group. Well done.
I can say, we just wanted to get everybody set and ready to go as we get you and take you up to the start of draft night. Coverage on ESPN Radio going to start after us with L. Duncan, Kevin Negandhi and company. Coverage with myself, Jason Fitz, and a whole host of others on digital going to start at 8 o'clock Eastern. But coming up next, although we've come to the end of the mock.
Oh, the mock.
The end of our mock draft next here on ESPN Radio.
I missed that one.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Well, the countdown is on to the 2021 NFL Draft.
Join me, L. Duncan, Kevin Negandhi. Full coverage of the first three rounds on ESPN Radio.
Coverage begins tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
For the first time on this show, my boo left me during the break for a good reason, and it's clearly because he was hanging out probably with L. Duncan, Kevin Negandhi, who will host ESPN Radio NFL draft coverage starting in 30 minutes right at 7 p.m. right after us. Mike Tannenbaum, Bart Scott, Ian Fitzsimmons. Yeah, but I'm taking note, Junior. This is the crew for days one and two, but I'm taking note. You left me in the dust during the break to go get food and hang out with them. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Yes, you know I'm mad.
Damn pizza! Damn pizza!
You're going to blame it on the pizza? I'm pretty sure you like them too. But just I know how you are when food comes around. So maybe
I can't. What I'm kind of blown away by, because again, I love everyone on our draft crew. Like having Ian Fitzsimmons out here. I haven't seen him since the like last football season. And L and Kevin. Like we got all these great people. Bart Scott's over here. I'm wondering who in the hallway ordered the salad, because I see all this great pizza, and then I'm wondering why we're wasting valuable space on salad. Like,
oh, don't try to distract us. Don't try to distract us. You didn't even tell me you were leaving in the hallway to hang with them. So strike number one,
okay,
friend.
Okay, I deserve that.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And as Junior said not too long ago, we've reached the end of the mock. And so we've got the final. That was pretty good, yeah.
That was.
We've got the final picks of the Shanae and Golic Jr. mock draft, 31-32, so let's get it.
The road to Super Bowl 56 and the Lombardi Trophy starts here.
Good evening. So you ready for the draft?
The NFL draft is right around the corner. And instead of Shanae and Golic Jr. trying to navigate the mock draft landscape, we'll ask the people that actually cover and talk about these teams. It's the inaugural Shanae and Golic Jr. mock draft on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
All right, here we go with the 31st pick in the NFL draft. The Baltimore Ravens are on the clock, so let's hear those chimes. To make the selection for the Ravens, we are delighted right now to be joined here on Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio by Max McGee, news and sports anchor for WJZ-TV. And you're on the clock. You're ready. Hey, Max, how are you doing?
I am doing well. Shanae, how are you?
Great, and the floor is yours.
With the 31st pick in the 2021 Shanae and Golic Jr. mock draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle, Alabama.
Why that pick, Max?
Well, look, the Ravens are going to take a really hard look at Terrace Marshall Jr. from LSU, but it's obvious that they're interested in an impact player on the outside. The size and speed is intriguing, but when you trade your Pro Bowl right tackle to a Super Bowl contender in the Kansas City Chiefs, you have to look for an immediate replacement who has proven results at the college football level. Alex Leatherwood has the skill set to fit this offense. 6'6", 310, 2020 Outland Trophy winner. He's going to absolutely maul people and get to the second level when the Ravens decide to wear you out in the second half. And there's a reason why Alabama had over 600 yards of total offense in the national championship game. GM Eric DaCosta will give a good hard look at filling the wideout position, but ends up running to the podium when he sees the forgotten name of the Crimson Tide offense still on the board.
Wear you out, running to the podium, very on brand for the Baltimore Ravens. Last but not least, Max, apparently you went to college with our boy Cliff.
Oh, God.
Can you spill the tea? Was Cliff always
in
the streets?
Shout out to my man Cliff.
Was he always in the streets, though?
Oh, he was always in the street. Whatever, I'm going to back up whatever Cliff tells you and support that. Shout out Temple Talks Philly, Whip Radio.
Well, Max, he says he's never been in the street, so this is just great information.
Thank you, Max. We appreciate the time and the insight on our friend Cliff in addition to the draft.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know what? We always knew that Cliff was ready to go back and be embraced by the streets, and that's coming up. Those days are coming up soon for all of us right now. The streets are actually on line one with Cliff, I believe, calling and letting him know they're ready for him to come home. But, Janae, I'm not going to lie, this pick...
Streets calling, there's Cliff on ESPN Plus.
You see, he's always ready to answer, too. Alex Leatherwood's not the name I expected to come off the board here, Janae. He's got the name brand value. I was surprised more people didn't try to talk about him and sell him before the draft. The Outland Trophy winner, part of the Joe Moore Award-winning Alabama offensive line from 2020, award for the best offensive line unit. But I think as a prospect, there are some technical issues with his game, specifically hand usage, getting overextended at certain times. He's played positions all around their offensive line, but I still think there are better prospects. And I don't even say this as a Notre Dame bias. I think if a tackle's going to sneak into the back end of this first round, it's going to be Liam Eichenberg out of Notre Dame. So
I love that. Was that a bad John? But no, continue.
Still, you know what? Still a good John.
Still
I think
a
still
John.
A good John, but it could have been a better John because we love all our big brothers and sisters around this show. But now, we got to get to the final pick. It's time. The 32nd overall pick in the draft belongs to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, your Super Bowl champions. Cliff, hit the chimes. And to help us make this pick, the co-host of Ronnie and T. Crass on 620 WDAE, Tom Crass, Nikki joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Tom, the floor is yours for the 32nd pick.
Guys, it's great to be with you, and with the 32nd overall pick in the 2021 Chenea Nwolig Jr. draft, the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Azeez Ojulari, outside linebacker from the University of Georgia.
All right, there we go. So we go a blue-chip product out of a place certainly well-known for talent up front. Tom, for the Buccaneers, the headlines have been they bring back everyone, all starters from this Super Bowl roster. Why was edge ultimately the place that you felt needed addressed in this first round?
Well, they brought back Shaq Barrett, a four-year deal. On the other side, they have Jason Pierre-Paul, who's entering his contract year. He just had off-season knee surgery, and he's 32 years old. And behind those two guys, they don't have much depth. So I think edge rusher is one of those positions they'd like to address. I think Joe Tryon from Washington, I think, intrigues the Bucs greatly. And just last week, I asked Jason Light during his pre-draft presser about opt-out players versus guys who played this past season. And they said, listen, it's not going to matter with us. We're going to take the best player available. So I think if Tryon is there or Ojulari is there, I think the Buccaneers would pounce. And don't rule out a trade-up. Jason Light has done that in years past. He's traded up. Last year, he traded up one spot to secure Tristan Wirfs, who was an all-world right tackle for them.
Listen, Jason Light's made everything else happen humanly possible for this Bucs team this offseason, so I'm not going to put anything past him. We appreciate the time. We appreciate you finishing off our mock draft. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoy the draft. Thanks.
Thank you, Junior. I would have to say this. As a Nigerian, we have this phrase, Naija no de carry last. Unless it's the NFL draft round one.
What does that phrase mean?
Nigerians, like, we never finished last, but the last pick was a Nigerian, who apparently is descended from Nigerian royalty,
ooh,
like all of us. You know what I'm saying?
like our black queens in the read that we need to get back here at some point on this show.
Thank you.
So there you have it. The 2021 Chenea Nwolig Jr. mock draft, often imitated, never duplicated, finishes up here. Notable picks in the mock. Justin Fields goes third overall to the San Francisco 49ers. Kyle Pitts, fourth to the Atlanta Falcons. Trey Lance falls to ninth at the Denver Broncos. Mac Jones falls to 20th to the Chicago Bears. And the Pittsburgh Steelers go running back in the first round, but not the one you're thinking, Travis Etienne out of Clemson. So those were some of the big picks from our 2021 mock draft. Thank you to all of our friends, reporters, affiliates that helped us get to this moment. Guys, we are 15 minutes away from the coverage of the NFL draft starting on ESPN Radio. But coming up next, we need you to meet maybe the most important prospect on the 2021 draft board. He's a new entry, and length is his strength. We'll help you meet the man in charge next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Well, the countdown is on to the 2021 NFL Draft.
Join me, L. Duncan, Kevin DeGani. Full coverage of the first three rounds on ESPN Radio.
Coverage begins tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
To the end of the road. So the countdown is on. 12 minutes and counting for us. But actually, it's really like 6 minutes. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Shanae Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., who you guys will see him all over our digital coverage of the NFL draft tonight. L. Duncan and Kevin Negandhi take the mics next. They will host ESPN Radio's NFL draft coverage here starting in about 10 minutes. So exciting. We had a lot of family come through today, especially as we got you ready for the NFL draft. I mean, it honestly feels like a national holiday. Shout out to those who worked on the holiday. Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider. Mike Tannenbaum, our NFL front office insider. Doug Kazarian, ESPN betting analyst. Max McGee, news and sports anchor for WJZ-TV. Tom Krasnicki, co-host of Ronnie and T-Kraz on 620 WDAE. And, of course, Mark Tauscher of Wild and Tausch on ESPN Milwaukee. I'm mad because I'm in training camp junior, and I miss Christine Lisi making her pick for the Bills. That's the queen, and I was really mad about that one.
I know. I felt bad that we had to do that without you here. Obviously, it brought joy to so many people as the NFL world, and specifically the folks in Wisconsin around Green Bay, were wailing and gnashing teeth. Christine Lisi was like the one bright spot that human beings had in this world.
Amen.
Our SportsCenter update anchor extraordinaire, who lifted the Bills to their success this year through her various baked goods.
Love the selection. Kudos to Shannon, our producer. And before we keep that same energy, Niger, no, they carry last. Cliff, did you understand what that meant when I said that?
Yeah, Nigerians never come in last. Yeah, I got it. I'm
yeah,
part of
cultural.
The lineage too, yo. Come on, you know.
Cultural, cultural, cultural. Let's keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Junior, those
kids. Yeah.
Chinang, yeah, shout out to the champ. And still, Kamaru Usman. But yeah, Junior, that was pidgin English. Now I don't know to carry last, like, pidgin English.
You're running circles around me right now, Chinee. I got too much draft in my head to try and decipher pidgin English right now. We are going to work on that another day. We got a whole summer,
he said,
trust
not
me.
Not today.
We got the time. Keeping that same energy is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. It's just like one of the many things Chinee just busts out of her tool bag that I'm just like,
nope.
What? I'm full. Which one of y'all kicked me? That's how I'm feeling right now. I'm not feeling nearly as fresh as some of these draft prospects, though, Chinee. Keeping that same energy, how about Patrick Surtain II getting ready to follow in his father's footsteps? NFL draft hopeful showed up on the red carpet with a full blinged out PlayStation controller chain.
What?
Chinee, and it looked functional. Where are you at on the draft day fashion, Chinee? Have we gone too far?
I love the bling. Do what you want. Like, you know, I'm queen of bling. But like in about 3 years, you're going to be like, oh, I don't know if I really rock with like PlayStation jewelry anymore. But that thing cost a brick. Like that cost a lot. So, did I sound Philly, Cliff? Because I said brick. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying because you keep saying everything wrong, Chinee. Come on.
Oh, man. Dang. Okay. Continue, Junior.
I'm going to get pidgin English lessons and Chinee's going to get Philly lessons and we're all going to be better for it, Chinee.
You keep saying that joint wrong.
Keeping that same energy. Chinee, I thought at the start of today we were going to come on air and be talking overwhelmingly about one thing. Because before Adam Schefter hit us with the atom bomb about Aaron Rodgers, him not being happy in Green Bay, telling people inside the organization want out, he hit us with this, Chinee. Tim Tebow recently reached out to the Jaguars and requested a tryout at the tight end position, per sources, a move many believe would have extended his NFL career had he made the transition earlier. He recently worked out for the Jags tight end coach. No decision has been made. Chinee, we know Tim Tebow just finished up trying to play minor league baseball with the Mets. He, like you, has had multiple jobs, worked around here at the SEC Network. Tim Tebow's 33. You think he still got the juice?
Live your life. Hey, just live your life, Tim Tebow. I don't know what you try to do.
Listen, the amazing
what do you
part,
think?
He hasn't played football since 2012, and he's still only 3 years older than Taysom Hill.
Wild.
Keeping that same energy. Before we let you go, we've talked about so many draft prospects and their measurables. How about this one, Chinee? Keeping that same energy, we have found a duck. And not just any duck. His name is Longboy. Longboy is the largest duck, the tallest mallard duck, to have ever lived since records began. Longboy lives on the campus of the University of York in England, and he stands at just over 1 meter tall. 3.5 foot tall duck, Chinee.
Far, far away. Oh, my gosh. That thing is creepy. Did I tell you I have a fear of birds?
Well, everyone should be afraid of that duck. As Mina Kimes so eloquently put it, that duck looks like Zaven Collins on the field with his Tulsa teammates, the 6'4", 260-pound linebacker.
That is so scary. Ornithophobia. That's what I have. I actually am more scared of a beak. So yeah, that's the worst thing. That's the thing of my nightmares.
Well, you know what? That duck is shooting up draft boards right now. Find out where Longboy and everyone else goes in the NFL draft coverage starting next on ESPN Radio with L. Duncan and Kevin Negandhi.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.